ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। वी हैव द सोर्स ऑफ नॉलेज एज सोर्स ऑफ नॉलेज प्राइमरी टेक्स्ट्स नोन एज प्रस्थानत्रयम्, अ सेट ऑफ थ्री main sources of knowledge. One is, first is Upanishads and then Bhagavad Gita. Upanishads, which form part of the Jnanakanda of the Veda, is said to be Shruti Prasthanam, the original source of knowledge. Then we have Smriti Prasthanam, Bhagavad Gita as Smriti Prasthanam. The Brahma Sutra says Nyaya Prasthanam. And these are the main primary sources of knowledge. Apart from these three Prasthanams, Shruti Prasthanam, Upanishads, Shruti Prasthanam, Bhagavad Gita, and Nyaya Prasthanam, Brahma Sutras, we have many commentaries on these texts. We have commentaries written by many acharyas. We also have textbooks, Vedantic treatises or Vedantic manuals known as Prakarana Granthaha. Prakarana Granthaha means a small manual or treatise which covers either all topics of Vedanta or some specific topics of Vedanta. These Vedanta Prakarana Granthaha, Vedantic manuals or treatises, discuss elaborately specific topics or all topics in order to enable us understand the teaching easily. And this, the teaching presented by the Prakarana Granthas definitely do not contradict the teaching presented in the original texts. That's why they are revered as Prakarana Granthaha. And this Advaita Makarantaha, of course, we have many textbooks, Prakarana Granthas written by Adishankara Bhagavatpada himself. And this one, Advaita Makarandaha, is one such Prakarana Granthaha written by Sri Lakshmidhara Kavihi. Not Adishankaracharya, you can see the name is here, Lakshmidhara Kavihi. Even Pooja Samji himself, he tells how he found this text and all that. How he came, he stumbled upon this book and how he liked it and etc. He explains sometimes in one of his talks. But it's Advaita Makaranda. The word Makarandaha literally means stamen, filament, no? The stamen, the flower. It also means dust. Particularly, it also means honey, it also means nectar. Makarandaha means nectar, Makarandaha means honey, Makarandaha means this fine dust, the stamen of the flowers also. So it has different meanings. Anyway, here we take it as nectar, amrita. So here, what is nectar here? It is not the nectar of Advaitam. What is Advaitam here? In fact, in this text, the author establishes definitely, you know, I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am the truth. Aham Brahma Asmi is this Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam actually reveals the individual being non-separate from the total. Essentially, every individual is Brahman only, the absolute reality. So only if a person has such a vision of non-duality of the reality, it is possible to say, I'm Brahmasmi. Again, it's not for saying. It is for one to really understand, assimilate, and revel, enjoy the benefit of that wisdom in the form of freedom. So here, Advaitam itself means, what is Advaitam? Having all the doubt, all the divisions and differences resolved is Advaitam. Seeing the divisions, not seeing the differences. So not seeing divisions and differences means one must see beyond the divisions and differences. We cannot say differences are not there at all. Differences definitely are there. Divisions are there. What are the divisions? What are the differences? Okay, there is a difference between individuals. Jiva jiva bheda. There's difference between the so-called accepted Ishvara. There's Ishvara. Whether we know, we do not know. There is Ishvara, the cause of the universe, the Lord of the universe, the creator of the universe. In all cultures, this faith is there. The Lord is the creator of the universe. Lord is the protector of the universe. So, you know, Ishvara, the belief, whether even though in the Sanatana Dharma, Ishvara, the Lord, the God, is a fact to be understood, not something to be believed. If 1 + 1 = 2, if you say, it's a fact to be understood, it's not to be believed. If I say 1 + 1 = 2, I'm not expecting you to believe what I'm saying. And you also don't believe what I'm saying. Understand? It's the fact to be understood. It's a fact for me. It's a fact for you. It's a fact for anyone. So fact is something which is verifiable and which is the same for all, isn't it? It cannot be different from person to person. Whether it's in America or England or any other country or in India, in any village you go, any part of the world you go, the fact is the same. It doesn't change. Fact cannot be different. No, 1 + 1 is something, some other different number. In any other country, no. It's the same. It's simple. So fact is something which cannot differ from person to person, isn't it? It's a fact. It is not a matter for belief. So, similarly here, what is Bhagavan? Who is God? Is also a fact to be understood. It is not something to be believed. So, all that is here is Ishvara. I mean, there's no second thing other than Ishvara. This is actually an expression of the vision of Advaita. All that is here is Ishvara means there's no second thing other than Ishvara. This is an expression of the vision of Advaita, non-duality of the reality. So that's the belief. Okay, Ishvara created this universe, which means who is Ishvara? I am different from Ishvara. Ishvara is different from me. This is Jiva Ishvara Bhedaha, Jiva Jiva Bhedaha, and Jiva Jagat Bhedaha. I am individual different from the world in front of me. Jiva Jagat Bhedaha, and Jagat Ishvara Bhedaha also. There's difference between Ishvara and the universe. In many cultures, Ishvara is different from Jagat. Ishvara is sitting somewhere else. You have to look up, isn't it? And in our culture, Ishvara right in front of you all the time, everywhere, wherever you see only Bhagavan here. Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha, Sahasra Aksha Sahasra Path, 1,000 eyes. Okay? You cannot escape. We can cheat others, we can cheat Bhagavan. Bhagavan is there all the time seeing. Okay? Sitting in your own mind as a witness. It's not somewhere away. Even though, what I'm saying, these are many differences. Jiva Jagat Bhedaha, Jagadishvara Bhedaha, Jagat Ishvara Bhedaha, Ishvara Jiva Ishvara Bhedaha, Jiva Jiva Bhedaha, the differences. I'm different from every other individual. Every individual is different from every other individual. And there's difference between, again, we have many Bhedas also. You say, the three types of Bhedas, the three types of Bhedas, differences. apart from this, we have sajatiya bhedaha, vijatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. Important. We have to, before entering into the Advaita Makaranda, this introduction is very important. Sajatiya bhedaha, vijatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. What is sajatiya bhedaha? What is vijatiya bhedaha? Now, we can say all human beings form one jati. And animals form one jati. So between, of course, human beings are also animal, but still, between human beings and rest of the animals, we can say what? There is one difference. All animals form one, come under the one category. Human beings come under one category because of the difference. Because of this, what is the big difference between other animals and human being? Human being is endowed with self-consciousness, endowed with knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. The self-identity, self-consciousness is there on the part of a human being, which makes a human being the most sophisticated being. Again, human being is blessed with free will to choose to do any action, to choose to refrain from any action also. The faculty of choice, human being is blessed with. Human being is blessed with this knowledge of values. What is right and what is basic values, universal values. What is right and what is wrong. And a human being definitely knows what is right without even having gone to school or university also. We being born a human being, this basic knowledge of universal values there is then on the part of every human being. Because every human being knows without being taught how others should behave. So I am very clear how others should behave with me. Means I have the knowledge of what I expect from others in terms of behavior. If I expect others, others should not tell a lie to me, should not cheat me, others should not betray me, others should not wound me, hurt me. I am very clear. Who should teach me this? This innate, inborn knowledge a human being has. So I know this. Based on what I expect from others in terms of behavior, I know how I should behave also. What every other individual expects from me also I understand. Therefore, based on this knowledge of what I expect from others in terms of behavior, I know very well what is right and what is wrong. Okay, this basic knowledge also is there. Because of these three reasons, definitely human being is superior, exalted, the most sophisticated of all the beings. Therefore, even though human being also beings also come under the category of animals, so human beings are different human species, and that is a species. This is it, vijatiya bheda. Okay, vijatiya bheda. And if you take only animals, you can say it is the living beings and non-living things. All non-living things come under one category. All living beings come under one category. Animate and inanimate beings. That is vijatiya bheda. That is different jati. This is different jati. Animate jati, inanimate jati. Isn't it? Even if you only take all the animals alone. There again you can categorize. All of them are animals. If you look at them, all animals as one group. They are one sajati. All animals belong to one jati of animals. Animals. But still within the animals, we can separate. Elephants are different. Okay, so wild elements, domestic animals. Your category. So sajatiya bheda. Within one species called animals, we are separating as what? Wild and domestic. Sajatiya bheda. Within the group, there's a difference. Sajatiya bheda. All of them belong to animal jati, but what is the difference between them? Except a group of animals come under the category of domestic, and a group of animals come under the category of wild. There again, you can again categorize as what? With sajati also, within the jati again you can categorize. Among the domestic also, or the wild animals also, we can say elephants are different. Who can say and the lions are different or tigers are different. All wild animals, But it's a categorizing. Within the group of wild animals, within the jati of wild animals, you are separating the sajatiya bheda. Is it clear? Like that, we can keep on differentiating the three possible differences. Vijatiya bhedaha, completely two different groups. And within the group, we can differentiate the sajatiya bhedaha. Then swagata bhedaha. Swagata bhedaha means whether you take an animal or individual human being or a tree or a plant, anything you take here, what happens? Yeah. Okay. Now, swagata bhedaha. If you take a tree, you can say all trees come under one jati, vriksha jati. All the plants. Okay, even within the plant jati, all plants belong to one jati. The entire vegetation comes under the category one jati, sajatiya, one jati. There you can, within that plant kingdom, you can separate. Trees are different, plants are different, herbs are different, shrubs are different, huge trees are different. You can separate. And there again, you can say what? Okay, neem trees, coconut trees, or mango trees, mango group, you can differentiate. It says sajatiya bheda. What is swagata bheda? You take one tree, only one tree, any one tree. You take, there again, the tree itself, the taproot is different, side roots are different, adventitious roots are different, trunk of the tree is different part, and then branches are different, leaves are different, flowers are different, no, fruits are different, fragrance. This is within one tree itself. Each part is different from every other part. Every part is different from every other part. Trunk is not the branch. Branch is not the trunk. Root is not the trunk or branch. It's within one tree. Difference. It's called swagata bheda. Difference within one given object. Isn't it? So we can say, even if you take human being, we can say head is different, hands are different, limbs are different, thighs are different. Every part is different from every other part. It's called swagata bheda. The differences pertaining to one given individual also. Yes, swagata bheda. Like this, differences are there. Vijatiya bhedaha, sajatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. Now, based on this, you can understand, okay, elaborate this, isn't it? You can elaborately discuss it. All these differences are real or not. Differences are there. Okay? But these differences are very, very relative. But for us, how do these differences appear? These differences seem to be very real. So, jiva jiva bhedaha, jiva ishvara bhedaha, jagadishvara bhedaha, jagat jiva bhedaha. Apart from these, sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata bhedaha. All these differences are there, but how real these differences are? You can talk about the differences to be real or not. You can discuss about it. Only if all these so-called things are there. You can talk about the difference between one big wave and a small wave, or countless number of waves, wave bhedaha. Difference between two waves. You can talk about the difference between two waves or countless number of waves only if the waves are there. Isn't it? If the waves are real for you, the waves are really existent, okay, then you can talk about what? The difference between the waves. But what do we think when we see the waves? In our perception, waves are there. And what is perceived for us, what is experienced by us, definitely cannot be, you know, taken to be unreal, as non-existent. I'm experiencing the waves, I'm experiencing the differences, therefore for me, waves are real. If waves are real, my perception, if they understood to be real, then difference between the waves also becomes real for me. Suppose, if you understand, there are no waves at all. How long the differences are real? Big wave, small wave, noise, huge wave, turbulent wave, quiet wave. How long the differences will be real? As long as you think the waves are real, differences also definitely be taken to be real. Whereas the waves themselves are not there, then can you talk about the difference between the waves? The waves are not there means, how can you talk about the difference between the waves? This is what Vedanta Shastram does. Understand? How does Vedanta Shastram say there is no such a phenomenon called difference at all? Bhedaha nastyeva. There's no difference at all. For difference to be there, there must be at least two factors. There must be more than at least one to talk about the difference. Even though relatively countless number of beings and things and species are there, absolutely what Shastram says is, what is only the reality. Other than reality, what is as though. Other than reality, what is as though. What seems to be there, appears to be there, means really it is not. If what is only the reality means a second thing itself is not there. Dvitiyam vastu nasti. Second thing is not there. Absolutely. Please listen. It's not relatively. Absolutely. The second thing is not there. The second thing is not there. How can you talk about the difference? Difference is a word which can be used, we can talk about only if the second thing is there. Teaching here establishes absolutely there is no second thing at all. Is establishing how there is no second thing at all absolutely is what? Establishing the fact of the non-duality of the reality. So this is how Shastram resolves, negates the difference. In my Mandukya Upanishad, very beautifully it is explained how there's no difference at all. So let me give this example again. This is a traditional example given. Standing on the seashore, when you're watching the waves and seeing the noise of the waves, movement of the waves, you cannot deny your perception. You do accept the plurality of waves, countlessness of waves, countless number of waves, and you are seeing that wave is going that side, this wave is coming this side, the differences we are seeing. And another person makes sure that you miss something there, that you do not see something else. That is why you are seeing the plurality of waves, multiplicity of waves, and you're talking about the difference between the waves. That person says, you are seeing these waves and know what is the truth of each and every wave. The wave is only an appearance. It's only a form. A form means Form has no substance of its own. Wave, form. Wave is a word denoting only a form. Wave is a word denotes only the form. Only the form means the word wave does not refer to anything other than the form. Means what? Word is a nama. Form denoted by the word is rupam. Nama and rupam. Nama rupam are, there's no substance for the word wave. Why? The substance called, is another substance that is denoted by the word water. Water is the word which denotes the substance. Take the word, use the word water, remove the substance meaning of the word water, water. After removing the meaning of the word water intellectually and see, after removing the water, the meaning of the word water, the substance of the substantive water, you still try to search for the substance of the substantive wave. Then you discover what? Water is the substance or the substantive wave. The substantive, what? Substantive. This water, for the word substance, for the word water. For the word wave, there's no substance, which means the word wave and the form denoted by the word wave have no substance. The word wave has no substantiality. It has no substance called wave. It's a non-substantial nama-rupa. Wave is a non-substantial form and the name if you remove the substance called water. Understand? Therefore, then you can say what? What is the only substance of the substantive wave? What is the only substance of the substantive waves? What is the only substance of the substantive ocean? Other than the substance called water, there's no substance. Wave, ocean, waves. Whether you use a singular word or the plural word, ocean, for all these words, substance is only water. Therefore, wave and ocean, etc., what now? Non-substantial form and name. So with reference to ocean, what we should take? Water is the only substance. Okay, there's no wave. There are no waves. There is no ocean also. From the standpoint of a substance called water, what is only the water. And what is this ocean then? Appearance. What is the wave then? Appearance. Waves are as though. Ocean is as though. It is not unreal. You cannot say, no, there is no ocean at all. We do not say. There are no waves at all. We do not say. Ocean is not unreal. Waves are not unreal. They are as though. As though means what they appear to be means they are really not there. Then what is really there? What is really there is only water. That is why we say, with reference to ocean, water is the only satyam. With reference to ocean. And the plurality of waves is plurality is mithya. Wave-ocean division is mithya. Wave-wave division is mithya. Waves are mithya. Wave forms are mithya. The ocean form is mithya. Therefore, wave-ocean difference is mithya. Wave-wave difference is mithya. There's not really, the difference seems to be there as though there absolutely, there is no such a thing called difference. From the standpoint of water, there's no difference. Because second thing must be there. If at all you say, no, there's something called ocean. Yes, ocean is just a form, non-substantial form. Huge form, so what? It's just the appearance of the water, that's all. It's as though it's not really there. What is there is only water. This is how cognitively, intellectually you're negating ocean. Once ocean is negated, the wave-ocean difference, wave-wave difference, there's no such a thing called difference at all, absolutely. Then you can say what is there is only water. From the standpoint of water, what is there is only water. There's no second thing other than water. Understand? It's in the same way, let us come to this Jagat also now. Here, the grossest example is given by the Shastra always. So here we see, with reference to this entirety of the cosmos. The entirety of the cosmos, when you say, we have to include what? Magnanimously, our own body, mind, sense complex. Because you are not part, you are not outside of the cosmos. So we take the whole cosmos here, Shastram says, and this cosmos is a mind-blowing, isn't it? Mind-blowing, huge, inexplicably vast, incomprehensibly vast, inexplicably vast, this universe. It's a five elemental model. This universe, already we say, five elements, elementals. There is difference between elements, difference between elementals, difference between living beings and non-living things. I talked to you about Sajatiya Bheda, Vijatiya Bheda, Swagata Bheda. All these Vedas are there. Yes, these Vedas, all these differences are there relatively. Absolutely, there's no such a phenomenon called difference at all. We have to see the differencelessness. Only then Advaita Jnanam is there. But to see that, you have to see beyond what our eyes can see, what we can perceive through sense organs. So here, the objective universe of this countless number of forms, names and functions, that's what it's said to be Vishwam, isn't it? This whole Jagat also, the word Jagat, how the word ocean is a non-substantial form and name. The substance with reference to ocean is only water. Water alone has substantiality. Ocean, the word, has no substantiality at all. The same way, with reference to this entirety of the cosmos, you take the word prapanchaha or jagat. Prapanchaha or jagat. When you say jagat or prapanchaha, you're talking about the entirety of the cosmos, okay, within which the loka where we are is only one of the 14 worlds. Okay, what of not? Our knowledge is very, very little, isn't it? One of the 14, Shastram talks about Chaturdasha Bhavanani, 14 worlds. At 14 worlds, we are here only one bhavloka, isn't it? Bhuvaha, Subaha, Maha, Janaha, Tapaha, Satyalokaha. There's six above. We're in the seventh. Seven below. Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Patala. Seven lokas below. Totally 14 worlds. After 14, the highest of the 14 worlds is Brahmaloka. Shastram talks about it. Doesn't matter. That is why the worlds above, worlds below, going there, life there, the heavenly pleasures and different plane of existence. Shastram talks about it. They're all matter for belief. Shastram does not expect us to, okay? It just matter for belief. Shastram says, I have Shraddha and Shastram, accept it. But still it's a matter for belief, non-verifiable matter for belief. Okay? Because it can be proved that those words are there. Nor can we disprove those words are not there. Understand? But here, it is not a matter for belief, but all that is there is only Brahma is not a matter for belief. It is a fact to be understood. That is the beauty of this fact. isn't it? It's not a matter for, it's not a non-verifiable matter for belief. It's a fact to be understood, fact which can be understood, which should be understood. Unless we understand this fact, there is no freedom for us, isn't it? So the Jagat also is what? Non-substantial Namarupa. How just as the word ocean is a word ocean denotes a non-substantial form, the word Jagat also denotes a non-substantial form. Not one form, non-substantial, countless number of forms which constitute the whole. Understand? Now, then what about every form? Every form, every word denoting any form serving any given purpose. Because here purpose also is there. Purpose or function, nama rupa karma. The whole jagat can reduce to what? Nama rupa karma, kim jagat. The universe is nothing but non-substantial form, name and function. The same, everything which is here as part of this jagat is what now? Non-substantial nama rupa karma. As I also explained this, isn't any a word denotes a given form which serves a given purpose, which is associated with a given function. Nama rupa karma. So here, this jagat also is not unreal because it is experienced, available for experience, interaction, enjoyment. Therefore, this jagat is not unreal. At the same time, it is not absolutely real also. What is this then? This is as though it appears to be there, but it is really not there. Which means jagat is a non-substantial nama-rupa karma. What is the substance of the jagat? Just as the substance of the substantive ocean is water, what is the absolutely, what is the substance in the substantive universe or cosmos? So substance of the substantive universe is the substance, any substantive denoting any given specific form. That's why the truth of the entire universe is there as the truth of every individual. That is why we say microcosmic being, an individual, a microcosmic being. The total is what? It is inclusive of every individual is macrocosmic being. And the truth of macrocosmic being and the microcosmic being happens to be one and the same. The truth alone is the only substance, which alone has substantiality. Other than that, whatever is as though. Unless and until we discover that absolute substance, which alone has substantiality, without which this universe will be nothing, isn't it? Which cannot exist at all. From the standpoint of the truth, you can see absolutely there is no such thing called division or difference at all. As long as this duality is real, jiva jagat duality or jiva ishra duality, jagat jiva, okay, jiva jiva divisions, as long as these differences are real, means as long as the truth is unknown, not known, the differences will be mistaken to be real. We are not denying the differences absolutely. We can't say differences are not there at all. Differences are there. Relatively, they are real. Relatively real. But absolutely, they are not there at all. So, what is that absolute? What is that which is actual substance? What is that which is there? That is said to be absolute reality, ultimate truth, sad vastu, paravastu. In Tamil we say meipurul, isn't it? We said that is reality. So Shastram helps us discover that reality. using our own means of knowledge we are blessed with, our five sense organs. Okay, the perception is the means of knowledge, the pratyaksha pramanam, our seeing power, hearing power, power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch. Using these five sense organs, which serve as instruments of knowledge, we cannot arrive at the truth. But these sense organs can help us arrive at only what is within the realm of as though real world. As though real sense organs can help us understand the as though real objects. And based on perception, we can use other pramanams also. Inference, presumption, comparison, pratyaksha pramanam, anumana pramanam, arthapatti pramanam, upamana pramanam, anupalabdhi pramanam, shabda pramanam. Using all these pramanams can be operated. Okay? Only to operate, want to understand based on the perceptual data. Therefore, all these pramanams can help us only understand things within the realm of the mithya prapancha. But what is to be understood here is something which is not within the realm of the mithya prapancha, the sadvastu, the actual, the only absolute substance, the substance of the substantive universe. We do not know. And Shastram says that sadvastu is formless, arupam vastu, nirgunam vastu, nirvikaram vastu, nirgunam, nirvikaram, arupam, sarvagatam, sthanuhu. Different word Shastram says. This sadvastu vastu. Every word Shastram uses only reveals the reality in terms of its given nature. If you say sthanuhu, sthanuhu means unmoving. You can't say anything unmoving, you can't take it. That's a burden. No. Unmoving is the nature of that vastu, unknown vastu. Sarvagatam. Sarvagatam means all pervasive. So all pervasiveness is the nature of the reality. Nityaha. Nityam vastu. Nityam means timeless, eternal. Eternal means it's always there. Always there means what? It cannot have a beginning. It cannot have an end. It cannot have, understand? If it can, if doesn't have a beginning and end, it cannot have a cause. It cannot have a cause, but it cannot undergo change also. Therefore, from this, how these words help us? These words help us, okay, by negating what the reality is not. Okay. Unmoving is the, okay, is the nature of the reality, means everything has, everything is universe moves. Okay. Why is unmoving? Because all pervasive. All pervasiveness. If all pervasiveness means it is spatially limitless. Everything in this universe is what? Subject to a spatial limitation. You can easily negate. So Shastram, these words, first of all, help us negate what that vastu is not. You negate what that vastu is not. It's called indirect method of revealing the vastu through negation. The method of negation through implication. I'll explain the pramana once. What is pramana? We're going to see that. So they help us. But timelessness is the nature of the reality, means everything is time-bound here. Therefore, all forms will become negated. All the forms will become negated as mithya or anatma, abrahma, non-truth, non-real. You don't say unreal, non-real, non-reality. So the whole jagat becomes negated as non-real. Why? They don't fit in. those words. If the entire jagat is non-real, means what is real, absolutely real, what is that which really lends existence for this? So, as though jagat, as though ocean, even to be there as though, it needs some substratum. That's what is the truth with reference to the appearance. Similarly, something called jagat, okay, and this inexplicably vast universe also has something. What is that vastu with reference to this? That vastu is implied by the term Brahma. The same vastu implied by Brahma. Another word, Atma, because of its nature of all pervasiveness. So all pervasive means it must be there as what? The Swarupma, the truth of everything that is here. A living thing, a non-living thing. Living thing, non-living thing, everything has what? Everything has the same truth as the truth. However, small form, or a big form, a living form, a non-living form, mobile form, immobile form, everything has that vastu as the content, as the swarupam, as the swarupam. What is that one thing, isn't it? If we discover that, and from the standpoint of the truth, you can see what? There is no difference at all. If you discover there is no difference at all, then you can say, what is only Brahma. And kidrusham Brahma? Advitiyam Brahma. Ekam advitiyam. Dvitiyam means what? Second. Sadvitiyam means secondful. Secondless, advitiyam, you know, second thing. And non-dual. Why it is non-dual? Because what is only reality, but it appears, Ilya, in the form of jagat. Therefore, because that appearance is what? We can say the material forms, names and functions, we have to account for that, isn't it? We say the material forms, names and functions, material forms and functions also are what? That reality only. Even though they are not two, they are not one, they are not one, but they are not two also. Because material forms, names and functions can never be counted as parallel reality. Why? They have no independent existence of their own at all. That is why they are negated as mithya. You say that matter is consciousness. This is the most difficult equation, because negating, re-equating matter to consciousness is the most difficult equation. Isn't it? The two ways of two negations should happen. Samanadhikaranam and Badhayam Samanadhikaranam and Aikya Samanadhikaranam. Aikya Samanadhikaranam, Jiveshwara Bheda, when you say Jivanishwara are essentially one, we say is Aikya Samanadhikaranam. But Jagat and Brahma, Jiva and Brahma are one, when you say Jiva is Brahma. Jivaha Brahmaiva na Aparaha, when you say Aikya Samanadhikaranam. Jagat Brahma, universe is Brahma. When you equate matter to consciousness, this is Badhayam Samanadhikaranam. You can't, when you, in dead body, it cannot function. But in alive body, it functions. Isn't it just the matter? How does it function? What makes it, what enables it to function? It functions means life is there. No function means no life possible. There's something which is present. In its presence, all functions are part. Kidneys function, heart functions, lungs function. All physiological functions happen non-stop. Non-stop, isn't it? Excretion is possible. All functions are possible. Functions are possible means life is there. All actions are possible. Physical actions are possible. Life is possible. Movement is possible. Achievements, thinking is possible. Discoveries are possible. So everything is possible. the presence of one thing which makes the possibility of everything. Yes, that is mind. Understand? Leave the physical body. The subtle powers which are there, even they are invisible, even they are imperceptible. That's what they call subtle. Sthula shairam you see. If at all cut off, you can see flesh and bone and muscles and marrow, what when the bones, nerves and these tissues. These are okay. But the subtle, invisible, imperceptible, subtle powers, indriyani. The word indriyam is a very, very expressive word. Even antahkaranam is an indriyam, a power. Mind is a power only. That's why for each power, for it to be there, it is a locus to be there, no, to be functional. It's like an officer needs an office room to be act functional. So each power has its own locus, which is called physical parts called a golakam. The golakams are okay, and subtle powers. How do they function? They're all material products. Can you believe? Not only this is matter, even inexplicable subtle powers are material products. Material products. Mind is a material, subtlest matter. This mind is a product of sattvic aspect of elements. And which is the presence of which makes the body alive, the absence of which makes the body dead. When the body, mind goes along with inexplicably subtlest material product, mind, the subtle indriyam, the power, all 10 powers go, pranas go. The whole subtle, all 15 aspects travel along with the mind. What travels is this mind, sukshma only. Isn't it? Which means, and now the next question comes what? The Kenopa's question is what? The mind is, Kenopa is a very intelligent student. This physical body is alive because of the subtle aspects inside. But this mind also is object of knowledge. Mind is also inert material product. Object means inert. Inert means matter, isn't it? The yadrishyam tad jadam. Yadjadam tad what? Prakriti. Prakritikam. Understand? So it cannot have, inert means it cannot have consciousness of its own, life of its own, sentience of its own. But if it is inert, how does it function? How is it possible? The function of mentation, how is it possible? And the presence of the mind, that the function of the mind is such that it's something amazing. Only with the mind is functional. All powers, 10 powers also functional. All 10 powers are functional, then the physical activity, physical body can be active. Then life is possible, isn't it? That is why only in the waking state, the 24 hours a day, you, as long as you are awake, how long are you awake? When the mind is functional, you are awake. Mind is functional, all 10 powers are functional, physically you are active. The 10 powers become non-functional. Even if the mind is present in the body, the mind is non-functional. This is time the mind stops functioning. Mind is present in the body, but it is non-functional. That is how the mind functions. Why the mind stops functioning? It takes rest. Again, the function of any function means what? It is within the realm of an order. The order is backed by knowledge also. So mind, this is a time, for some time mind remains non-functional. Mind is non-functional, the vrittis which arise remain resolved. Vrittis means what? Subtle thought modification, thoughts. Okay. Again, there is, you cannot understand what thought. You have to understand thought also in terms of cognition, etc. Thoughts are there. Thoughts back up is all subtle powers. All subtle powers function are functional. Mind is non-functional. Sense powers resolve. Powers of organs of actions resolve. All 10 powers stop means no perception, you become cut off from the world. And all powers of organs of actions become non-functional, means no physical activity is possible. Body is like a dead body. We are asleep. Understand? When the mind is non-functional, your physical body is as good as dead. Not dead. As though dead. As good as dead. No more, for the world doesn't exist for you because perception is not possible. I said all powers are non-functional. So the world to be shining, to have the status of being existent, to be experienceable, to become the known, the world is dependent on the function of perception, for which all sense forms must be active, functional. For them to be functional, mind must be functional. The body should be active, should not be lying down like a dead body. Then all organs of actions must be functional, for which mind must be functional. See, the very basic class I'm teaching, just to make us understand, even the subtle powers, inexplicably subtle powers, are matter only. Isn't it? Now, here, and that's why everything which comes under the category of the known is what? Jagat. Jagat means everything which comes and goes is Jagat. Prapanchaha means what? Anything which is a product of elements is what? Elemental product is Prapancha only. The universe, the cosmos, the entirety of the cosmos. We don't know where the cosmos begins, when it begins. Inexplicably, incomprehensibly vast cosmos is inclusive of your precious body, mind, sense complex. This is objective universe. This objective material universe is of the nature of inertness, has no independent existence of its own at all. This way it can never be counted as a parallel reality or a second thing. Okay, consciousness is one, the matter is second. The being is second because it has no independent existence of its own. Why? If I remove this book, still the mind can be. Then I can count it. 1, 2, 3. Mic is not dependent on existence of this book here. The book is not dependent on the existence of this mic here. Therefore, they are countable as 1, 2, 3. Whereas this, the entire objective material universe cannot exist independently. If I remove the water, ocean will disappear. If ocean can be, even in the absence of water, then you can call it second thing. So it cannot be counted as a second thing. That is why this objective, inert, material universe does not have countability. It can be counted as a second thing. Okay? Therefore, it is what? It is mithya. There's no independent existence at all. If it is mithya, okay, what is known, we have to understand first. What is satyam? What is that satyam? Which is one, which is secondless. Secondless means there's no parallel reality. Only satyam. Apart from satyam, what is this? Only mithya, which is not parallel. Not even second. One satyam, secondless, non-dual reality. Ekam, advitiyam, advaitam, sadvastu kim. What is that? Understand here. That ekam, advitiyam, advaitam, sadvastu, one secondless non-dual reality, you can discover as what? As I. Understand? As what is Swarupam of the I? Okay, idam. Shatam is two pronouns. Aham, idam. I, this. This, when you say idam, indicates this entirety of the objective universe, including your body, mind, sense complex. Isn't it? And what does not come under the category of This idam is what? Aham. Understand? So idam is the known object of knowledge, means aham is what? The subject of knowledge. So everything is reduced to two, isn't it? This is a Kena Upanishad student, being an intelligent student, he is asking, I understand the body is alive because of the subtle factors. The subtle factors are also material products. He is so intelligent. He knows they are also material products only. Still, how does the mind, Kena Prayuktaha Prayati Manaha, what is that? Okay, instigated by what? The mind functions. The pranas function. He's asking the question. No, what is it, Atma? That's the question actually. So here it is that vastu. So aham definitely refers to only that sadvastu. Aham refers to sadvastu only. Absolute reality only. Understand? That sadvastu is implied by the term Brahma. If before discovering, we cannot say that. After discovering, he said what? Aham Brahma Asmi. I am is already known. To know whether I am or not, we don't need any pramanam. Do I need a pramanam? I am means what? Knowledge of existence, of the self. Isn't it? This knowledge is naturally there for a human being. If this knowledge is there, I tell you all the time, if this knowledge is there, this waking state. When this waking state, when mind is functional. Whenever this knowledge is not there, mind is non-functional. The mind is non-functional means this knowledge is not there. Which knowledge? Knowledge of self-existence. This is ardham jnana, partial knowledge. I know I am, I know the world is, the waking state. This is knowledge of existence of the self and the world is, means half knowledge is. In deep sleep state, this knowledge also is not there. Therefore we say what? Total ignorance. But this half knowledge must be converted into total knowledge. How does it become total knowledge? I know I am, but I do not know what I am. If I discover what I am, what is universe is? Discovering what I am is as good as discovering what this universe is. If you know wave is water, it is as good as understanding ocean is water. They're not two truths. Understand? Only Shastra gives the clue. Come on, truth of the whole is there as truth of you, yourself. Truth is there as you, as the Swarupa of the individual. Therefore, if this I am, the knowledge of self-existence obtaining in him of thought in terms of I am is distinct from every. Now you understand, mind is what? Part of the individual, isn't it? Every individual being composite of these both aspects, the knower and the known, Atma and Atma. These Anatma aspects, body, you know, material product. So everything is material, isn't it? Except, including mind, which means mind also is, we know it's anatma, means the question is here, the knower of the mind, isn't it? It's a mind also is material product, means aham asmi. What is aham asmi? Knowledge of self-existence, which rises of a thought. What is ahamasmi, this knowledge? Mind. Understand now? Ahamasmi, this knowledge, which comes and goes. Is it there? Understand now? Even this knowledge of exists, self-existence in terms of I am, which comes and goes, is what? Comes and goes means what? Mind. Understand now? Vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam. Okay, it's a cognition. When you say cognition, a cognition or knowledge is not just a material thought alone. Cognition involves two factors. One is the thought. What is the uniqueness about the mind is, mind being the subtlest matter, it is capable of manifesting consciousness. It is like, I'll give you a sec, I think I must have told you many times before. See, this piece of the wall is also nothing but earthen product. All the materials used to conserve the wall is material product only. And the doors, etc., leave the glass part, the wooden planks, everything is earthen product, isn't it? Everything is earthen, but earthen only. The glass is also earthen. But still, if you go and stand in front of a mirror, the reflection is possible. Whereas you go and see your face on the wall, there's no reflection. Everything is earthen. Why? Only mirror reflects. But the wall doesn't reflect. The piece of the door doesn't reflect. Because the grossness, isn't it? The transparency is not there. Transparency is there, reflection is possible. Listen, the transparency is there, it's capable of reflecting. The same way, mind being subtlest, even though everything is matter, the physical body directly, there's no manifestation of consciousness. Consciousness is all this reality, which is subtlest reality, abstract formless reality, attributeless reality, is all pervasively there. Never a time it is not, no place where it is not, in everything it is there, means the dead body it is there, the non-living thing is also it is there. Always, you can't move anywhere. It is there pervading everything, isn't it? There's no place where it is not. Still, there's no life. In this wood, consciousness is. Everywhere consciousness is. But why it is not, life is not there? Only in certain beings life is there. We call things, talk about non-living things. Non-living things also are equally pervaded by consciousness. நுண் உணர்வு அனைத்தும் இங்கு அங்கு என்று இல்லாம எங்கும் நீக்கமா இருந்த பரம்பரும் எவ்ரிவேர் இட் இஸ் தேர் ஆல் பர்வேசிவ்லி மீன்ஸ் நோ தட் இஸ் வை நாயுத பூஜா தே வி டூ வர்ஷிப் இன்னர் திங்ஸ் ஆல்சோ வி வர்ஷிப் எவ்ரி திங் ஈவன் இன் எ ஸ்மால் டைனி பின் வி டு நாட் வாக் ஆன் இட் இட்ஸ் ஆஃப்டர் ஆஃப்டர் பின் இசன்ட் இட் What are a piece of stone? Inert things are also Ishvara, which means there is also consciousness. The difference is, consciousness is there non-recognizably in non-living things. Consciousness is there recognizably in living beings. In living beings, consciousness, this abstract, formless reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is recognizable. In non-living things, it is non-recognizable. The non-recognizability is because there is no manifestation. The manifestation of consciousness is, don't think I'm talking something else, is introduction to Advaita Makaranda. Okay. The manifestation is, it is recognizable. If manifestation is not there, non-recognizable. Consciousness is, it cannot go anywhere, always is there, everywhere it is there, but it's no manifestation. In non-living things, there's no manifestation of consciousness. Consciousness is, there's no manifestation of consciousness. If manifestation is not there, means non-recognizable. Because it is non-recognizable, it is as good as non-existent. It's not non-existent, but we should not mistake it to be non-existent. Okay? Being non-experienceable should not be mistaken for non-existent. That's what we do. For us, we need a big, big, colorful things in front of us, and then we accept. Whereas in living beings, consciousness is manifest. Therefore, it is recognizable. Again, the level of manifestation, level, consciousness is manifest in different levels. The levels of manifestation differ from being to being. In plants, there is manifestation of consciousness. In tiny, tiny living creatures like amoeba, paramecium, or bacteria, bugs, ants, worms, you know, tiny, tiny, tiny mosquitoes, all living beings, the fish, aquatic creatures, birds, this calling animals, isn't it? So every living being, there's manifestation of consciousness. In plants also, all plants are alive, consciousness is there, manifest. But we cannot, the level of manifestation is different. Why? The difference in manifestation is not because of the difference in consciousness. The source of manifestation is one and one and only consciousness, only reality. That there's no difference at all in the source of manifestation. But the difference in manifestation, difference in the level of manifestation, is because of the difference in the manifesting media. So plant is a upadhi, plant upadhi. The plant body is a plant upadhi. Wherever there's subtle powers, aspects are there, their manifestation is possible. In a plant, there's subtle insight. Understand? Therefore, there's manifestation. But you can only see how the reality is manifest there. Reality is manifest in the form of knowledge. Knowledge, where is the knowledge? Knowledge is in the form of the knowledge is in the form of the knowledge back in the order. Order involved in the functions. Because in the plant, functions are happening. Tiny plant grows, 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 becomes big. Life is there. It yields flowers, yields fruits. You can see how beautiful, colorful the plant is. Life, full of life, which means the absorption of water. It drinks water. And then photosynthesis happens in the sun. Isn't it? It breathes. The breathing happens because it inhales. Carbon dioxide exhales or oxygen for photosynthesis. And the night when the sun goes, it starts breathing differently, isn't it? For photosynthesis purpose is different. Then it inhales. That is why we are supposed to go under the trees in the night time. Because they inhale oxygen in the night. Daytime, they exhale oxygen. And the sun is there. So all these functions are possible. Functions are possible means, and there what? Functions are happening. That is why life is possible. They live, they grow, become big. And then they reproduce. Seeds, fruits come, seeds, they reproduce. So reproduction is possible, but isn't it? Yielding fruits is possible, growing big is possible, they're consuming food, they have energy, they produce their own food. All these functions are possible, which means function is there means definitely there must be an order. There cannot be a function at all without an order. isn't it? There is an order how this function should happen. That is what is order. This is how the function can happen. The function cannot happen differently. And that order we cannot create. No order involved in any function we can create unless the machine is manufactured by us. Isn't it? This is Bhagavan made. Bhagavan made every living being is Bhagavan made functions, isn't it? So there's an order involved, that order. So but people study botany, they study that also, isn't it? So there's order involved. The function is possible, there's order involved. And that order is means how can there be order? Why the order should be like this? There is knowledge. Which means without we do not teach the plants how to absorb water from the earth, how to produce its food. We don't tell that, you know, the plant, suppose there's very, very dark, the branch comes and goes like this, in searching for sun. So who teaches the plant? It knows. So Pooja Swamiji, I love Swamiji's, what Swamiji used to say this, because every living creature is blessed with its own knowledge to live its life. So no creature ever needs to go for any tuition to learn how to live its life. Doesn't it live our lives? That ant knows how to live its life. Monkey knows how to live its life. Frog knows how to live its life. Beetle knows how to live its life. Every living creature is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. That knowledge, you all went and saw the newborn calf. We took a picture. And who goes and teaches the calf to go and drink milk, how to drink milk from a mouth of the mother's udder? Who teaches? That knowledge we are not seeing through physical eyes, but we understand the knowledge being manifest. Is it clear? That knowledge we don't see through physical eyes, but we understand the calf has knowledge, you know, to do what, how it should do. That knowledge which we understand, it has the knowledge and knows, isn't it, how to crawl towards a sweet boxes, which means every that knowledge is manifestation of reality. That knowledge is manifest. For knowledge to become manifest, there must be sukshma. If subtle is not there, manifestation is not possible. Only gross is there. Manifestation is not possible. If there's no manifestation, no life. No life, no manifestation means non-recognizable. Understand? So in all living beings, there is manifestation. Different levels of manifestation. In animals, in plants, insects, everywhere. And even in human body, there's manifestation of knowledge. Isn't it? Because we understand how each organ functions. Each organ functions. That's why all these different departments of medical sciences, each specialist learns the order involved in the function of heart. As a cardiologist, as a nephrologist, they learn the order involved in the function of kidneys. Of course, much more than the related things they learn. That is how the doctors can only study the order involved in the function. They cannot change the order. They understand the order. The order goes, something goes wrong. It's a disorder. The treatment is only bringing the order back to, bring the disorder back to order. That is what is done. Nobody creates a new order. Isn't it? Even they can remove the highest, what is advanced science now? You can remove the heart from a dead body. Very good heart. Oh, very nice heart. Fix the heart for another person. Heart transplantation or lung transplantation. Any transplantation is what? They know the order, how it functions. To fix it. Isn't it? They know how to do it. So we are trying to, you know, make use of what Bhagavan given. No? Again, Bhagavan given heart only. or plastic hearts, and I don't know whether maybe certain trying again had studied the same order. So that order, which is backed by the knowledge, that knowledge, even though we do not see it through physical eyes, that knowledge is manifestation of reality. Our own, the whole physical system, we have this knowledge, this knowledge manifest here, but still we can only understand how reality is manifest in the physical system. Only as the knowledge back in the order involved in the, each function of each organ, we have to go beyond little distant. The same reality is manifest in, isn't it, the function of mentation. Now highest form of manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of reality is what? The knowledge of existence of the self. Highest form of manifestation of knowledge, what? Knowledge of the existence of the self. I am. Only in human mind, not in human heart, not in human lungs. For that knowledge to manifest, such subtlest of the matter is what? Human mind. That's why human mind is in fact, even hardware is some, because of the analysis of the mind, highest form of manifestation of knowledge is knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Okay? And that knowledge, that's a cognition, this manifest knowledge means there must, it involves what? Manifesting medium. Is it enough? I want to understand, that's why cognition or knowledge is what? Manifestation of knowledge means it is also the manifesting medium. That manifesting medium is matter, subtle matter. And the mind being a subtle matter, this knowledge of highest term of manifestation in terms of knowledge of self-existence is there. I am. The cognition is what? Thought. A thought by itself cannot even have such something existent. But thought, okay, consciousness by itself does not become manifest knowledge. Is it clear now? So consciousness with thought together constitute what? Cognition. Manifestation of reality. Manifest reality is recognizable. If there's no manifestation, means what? Pure. Pure reality means not with the manifesting medium. With the manifesting medium, there's manifestation of manifest knowledge, manifest reality. Manifest reality is knowledge recognizable. No manifestation, no manifesting medium, non-recognizable. In non-living things, no manifesting medium, no subtle. Sukshma is not there. Subtle is not there. Subtle matter is not there. Therefore, no manifestation, no, it's not recognizable. And mind, here we can come to mind, where this aham asmi, this knowledge is what? Vritti jnanam. Manifest knowledge means what? Vritti jnanam means specifically that it's not mere consciousness is what? Mere reality is pure reality, doesn't become cognition. Mere vritti cannot even have independent existence. In the presence of vritti, if consciousness is, then you have what happens now? Knowledge. It's called vritti jnanam. Aham asmi. And this knowledge is there only in human mind. And being endowed with the mind, human being is, isn't it, the ruler of other creatures. That's why dog comes behind us and you are going holding the dog's neck in the string. Otherwise, what will happen? Dog will drag us and we will be going. That is why we are intelligent enough to use what? The horses we ride. Horse na, will ride on us otherwise. Horses we ride. Horse, we use elephants. We use horses. We use cows. We use bulls. We use, isn't it? In America, and then dogs keep company. People have dogs as their companions. All these are, isn't it? Others, dogs will have us as companions. It is this knowledge. Okay? Knowledge of self-existence, which is unique for human beings. The sixth sense. What is sixth sense? If you have knowledge through five sense organs, Aindari. Animals have. Arav the Arivu. What is the sixth sense here? Knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Animals don't have. Because there is knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, it is possible to know what? This is knowledge of the existence of the world also is possible. This is naturally there and a part of the human being. But even in human being, this partial knowledge is there. Total knowledge is not there. That's why we say in all other living beings, in all other living beings, knowledge of self-existence is not there. Knowledge is the level of manifestation of reality is now in keeping the level of the sukshma available there. It's only knowledge, limited knowledge. And plants, limited knowledge. Animals, limited knowledge. We say, no, paindaribu, isn't it? Only fivefold, knowledge through fivefold senses. Animals have fivefold, knowledge through fivefold senses. The sixth sense is not there. Now what I'm saying, therefore, they remain in total, they remain steeped in total ignorance. All living beings remain steeped in total ignorance. They are blessed with life. They are blessed with the knowledge to live their lives. Adequate knowledge. Adequate knowledge to live their lives. The dog is given a little more knowledge, it would have been different. Why the dog is behaving like a dog? That's why their whole animals, you know, all animal activities are instincts. Instinct based. The activities. They even steeped in total ignorance means there's no knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am on a part of the animals. Therefore, there's no animal is eligible to discover what I am. It's all introductory talks I used to teach in Bhagavad Gita before, but now I have to tell you all these things just to tell you where you can discover Brahma. Advaita Jnanam has to be there, isn't it? It's all basic which I taught long, long ago. Remember, it's not, nothing is new. I told this introduction is very old introduction. But still it's very important to remind you. So if animals remain steeped in total ignorance, must be very clear. What does it mean by saying that except human being, all other living beings remain steeped in total ignorance, even though they are blessed with adequate knowledge to live their lives? This knowledge of self-existence. And a human being is blessed with this knowledge of self-existence. Even in a human being, knowledge is partial. And to understand the difference, we have to analyze what? The deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, we also are like animals. How? There's adequate knowledge for the physiological functions to happen in deep sleep state. Because consciousness can never go. The source of all knowledge is all pervasively always there. Understand? But what happens when the mind is non-functional? Okay. What happens? There's no vritti. There's no manifesting medium. There's no manifestation of knowledge. That is why we say, when there's no knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, is deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, That total ignorance. You do not know you are, do not know the world is, therefore you are not eligible to know what you are in sleep. If it is possible, I can put you to sleep and teach. Isn't it? But you must be awake. If you are dozing, I see that you have tea and you wake up and sit fresh to listen. Isn't it? So partial knowledge must be there too. And it's the whole Shastra's effort is to help you convert this partial knowledge, which is effortlessly, naturally there, make it total. Convert the half into Ardham into Purnam. If you discover, isn't it, what I am. What I am here means what? You distinguish the, this, the Swagata Bheda is there, isn't it? Head, like that. The body is different. Sense organs are different. All these aspects constitute an individual, no doubt. All these material aspects constitute an individual body, mind, sense complex. Means there you have distinguished what? Mind. Mind is part of the individual. Isn't it? The mind alone is what? Ahamasmi jnanam. That jnanam is what? Part of the individual in the waking state. Isn't it? Ahamasmi, that knowledge also is part of the individual. That is distinct. They're not distant. The hand is not distant from the physical body, the trunk, but still distinct. Not distant, distinct. Because the physically, the physical body, gross hand, is not distant from the gross body, but it is distinct. The same way, I am is subtle. The knowledge of self-existence is a vritti jnanam. That jnanam is also what? Part of the whole is distinct from rest of the thoughts. Rest of the thoughts. Distinct but not distant. Distinct from the other aspects, the gross aspects, subtle aspects, even other thoughts, other thought modifications. Understand? That I am alone you distinguish. Okay? Cognitively you distinguish. It's part of the part of the whole individual distinguished. And you just ask, this I am is manifestation of knowledge. Manifestation of reality. The manifest knowledge, which means it comes and goes. Where does this I am rise from? Where does this I am exist? And there's a time it disappears. Therefore what? It resolves. Where does this I am resolve? Where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? It comes and goes. If it comes waking state, it goes to its deep sleep state. Understand? This is how we are helped to understand this arriving, departing knowledge of self-existence. In terms of I am, which rises, okay? The vritti is there, it rises, it goes. Means, this vritti jnanam, where does it rise from? Where does it resolve? Where does it exist? We discover, you're discovering the source of all knowledge. By discovering the source of one piece of knowledge, you're discovering the source of source of manifestation. Okay? So here, now we see this bulb is glowing. Imagine, this bulb is glowing and it just gives, so it spreads the light everywhere. But for the bulb to glow, there must be inside what? Filament. The filament is in good condition, then it is powered with electricity, isn't it? Filament alone does not glow, cannot glow. Without filament, electricity by itself cannot become glowing light. Understand? The light is there. Electricity is there. The electricity by itself cannot become what? The invisible invisible electric power by itself cannot become a glowing light. But without electricity, the filament cannot by itself what? Understand? Glow. Without this, the bulb cannot even be seen in darkness. The electricity supply is there, the filament is in good condition. If it glows, then the bulb also is shining. Bulb has life. Then two factors are there. Invisible electricity, visible filament. I'm just giving example. Don't stretch the example too much. Now, my mind is not like that. Vritti, manifest knowledge means recognizable. Manifestation is there means only manifesting medium must be there. Understand? Vyaktam. Avyaktam should become vyaktam. Now, the question is highest form of manifestation of knowledge is possible because of the superiority, exalted of the manifesting medium, though it is material. Mind is amazing, isn't it? Mantakarna vritti, then this knowledge is possible, which is part of the individual. We have to be special about individual, isn't it? And we are only separating that, we are asking what is it? It's like you take a huge tree and so many parts are there. And you're distinguishing the only taproot. Taproot is not distant from the whole body, whole tree, but it is distinct from the whole tree. I said like that, I am is what? This vritti jnanam is part of the whole individual. It's distinct from, isn't it? You're differentiating it from the gross body, subtle body. Everything is what? Objects of knowledge. This I am alone is what? Knowledge of self-existence. As we're asking, even that, okay? What is that? If you discover that, the source of manifestation of I am. Source of the manifest knowledge. You discover it, you discovered the source of all knowledge. That source of manifestation is what? Reality, we say. It must be what? Knowledge. The source of manifestation of knowledge must be knowledge. We only. So what is it? You have to discover. And the knowledge manifest is looked upon as Ishvara, the Lord. So Ishvaraha, who is Ishvara for us? Ishvara is knowledge. Knowledge manifest is Ishvara. Only when this knowledge of manifest, knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, knowledge of the existence of the world, this world is also possible, then the whole world shines. Isn't it? Therefore, we say whole world is Ishvara. Jnanam. Ishvara Brahma. Understand the concept of God and this source of. First, Ishvara is Brahma. Jiva is Brahma. Jagat is Brahma. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. Difference. No? The triangle. Jivaha, Jagat, Ishvara. Ishvara is Brahma. There is no Ishvara other than Brahma. Truth. There's no Jagat other than the truth. There's no individual other than the truth. All three are essentially one. This Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Bheda. Spiritual sorrow. If you discover the truth of Aham, this Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Bheda will be resolved. This, okay? Jiva, individual, total, is Ishvara, the universe, material universe. Ishvara is just the concept. The knowledge manifest individual is Jiva. Knowledge manifest in total is Ishvara. Same. Jiva and Ishvara are different. How do you say different? Because knowledge manifest in total is Ishvara. Knowledge manifest in individual mind is Jiva. Same knowledge. there's no difference between the knowledge manifest in individual and the total. There's no difference. Where is the difference then? Difference is in the manifesting medium. Ishvara Upadhi is the total. Samashti. Macro cause. Macro, isn't it? Cosm is the Upadhi. In Jiva Upadhi is what? Individual body mentions complex. The difference is only in the manifesting medium. Jagad Upadhi, isn't it? Ishvara Upadhi is the whole, Samashti. Jiva Upadhi is Vyashti. Individual body mentions complex. Upadhi Veda is there. In manifestation, there's no difference. The source of manifestation, of course, there's no difference at all. That's why, from the standpoint of the source of manifestation of knowledge, there is no difference. Only Swarupa. Without the source of manifestation, there cannot be Ishvara. Without the source of manifestation, there cannot be Jiva. Jiva and Ishvara are two different titles given to one and the only reality, consciousness. From the standpoint of two different upadhis. Upadhi means manifesting medium. The individual body, mind and complex is upadhi. The total samashti upadhi. Understand? That is why that manifestation is there means you give the name being, life. Macrocosmic being means Ishvara, the whole. For us, we look at the whole cosmos as one being, life. Not lifeless. There's no life, nothing life is lifeless for us. The inert is also Ishvara. The whole cosmos is one. Macrocosmic being means full of life. That is why in Vedantin's vision, there's nothing here inert. We convert the inert into Ishvara. Understand? Nothing inert. Because everything is Ishvara. Ishvara means what? Life, being, conscious being. The whole jagat is one whole being, macrocosmic being, Ishvara. Highly intelligent scientist can say what? He can reduce the whole into bundle of energy. Inert matter in his books. Scientists view it's a matter. Bundle of, isn't it? Only inert matter for him. In our view, there's no matter. There's only macrocosmic being Ishvara. It's all preparation for Advaitam. Don't think that is something else. Understand? Ishvara. So therefore, from the standpoint of the manifesting medium, there's difference between Jiva and Ishvara. No doubt. That the differences are relative. The standpoint, the source of manifestation, there's no difference. Jiva and Ishvara, there's Abhedaha, there's Bhedaha. The Shastram equates. All these Mahavakyams equate Jiva to Ishvara. Am I late? Oh, stop. Is it clear? Therefore, you understand this much. Okay? There's Jiva Ishvara Bheda is not there. Jiva Jagat Bheda also, there. Jagat Ishvara Bheda also is. We'll see that tomorrow. Okay? And we'll start the text also. We'll be seeing. Now, what's time? 6 o'clock? You couldn't hear? Okay. Ipa kekada? Did you miss anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But it's clear, isn't it? See, I'm summarizing a lot of stuff together. Even though you have heard in different occasions, very important to see this. And because that is why we have reverence, we have very, we have become very sensitive. Sense what? I mean, say being sensitive in the right sense, isn't it? Never look at anything as lifeless. Whereas Ishvara means macrocosmic being, and in Tamil we have beautiful word Perumal. Perumal. Ni Chinnal. Okay? The Upadi is small, so Chinnal. Upadi is big, Perumal. Otherwise, there's only Ishvara. If the small R being is dissolved in a huge being, there's only one being. So physically, you cannot understand, unite. There's no need to unite, isn't it? Even physically, if you see also, here Ishvara is already there. As an order involved in the order, as knowledge back in the order involved in the functions, Ishvara is very much there. But still, absolutely, from the standpoint, the source of manifestation, there is no difference at all. The only reality is given two different names, titles, qualifications as Jiva and Ishvara from the standpoint of the manifesting medium. Difference is in the upadis. Jiva upadhi is different, Ishvara upadhi is different. But a source of manifestation, there is no difference at all. Understand? There is one and the same. That is Satyam. Manifestation is Mithya. Manifesting medium is Mithya. Understand? The source of manifestation alone is Satyam, which is implied by the term Brahma or Atma. Is only what? Still Advaita Jnanam is not there. No way. Jiva Ishvara Aikyam is understood like this. This is Aikya Samana Adhikaranyam. How Aikyam? How there is oneness? Oneness of the essential nature of Jiva Ishvara. How Jiva Ishvara essentially one? The standpoint of the source of manifestation. Isn't it? This is how we have to understand Jiva Ishvara Upadhi. Aikya Samana Adhikaranyam. Katam Jivaha. How Jiva is equivalent to Ishvara. How? The standpoint of the source of manifestation. Now, Jagat is also Ishvara. There is no Jagat. That is the equating matter to consciousness. Manifest is the knowledge. Matter is knowledge. That we'll see too. We'll see later. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.